In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Watch a lot of preseason NFL football this weekend.
Man, so much. My wife was like, dude, already with the football? You're already starting? Oh, my God. No, I didn't watch 1 second of preseason football. What kind of lunatic do you have to be to watch preseason football?
I have people who, want to get some insight into their fantasy football roster.
I'm out on fantasy this year. I'm out.
Yeah, you're out.
I did it last year. And I was terrible, as I'm always.
I know they've
terrible.
Got the Odyssey League with Gwen and Chris.
Never
back
been invited
up,
to it. Never been asked to go. Never been asked to participate.
Now, if you were, would you say yes or no?
Well, I mean, if my colleagues asked me, then I guess I probably would.
Then you'd have to pay attention.
Then I'd have to pay attention, and then I'd have to get made fun of. It would be like fun to beat like all the football heads on the station. That would be fun. Like me going, I don't know, give me, I'll take so and so in the first round. Caleb Williams.
Apparently, Scraby won last year, and it is driving Elo and Tony Gwynn Jr.
See, that's what would be fun.
Who take fantasy football, let's be honest, a little too seriously, both of them. It's driving them insane that Scraby won it last year. And now, like, their entire mission is just to make sure that they beat Scraby this year.
I mean, would you want to hear it if Paul won something?
Paul's beaten us so many times at stuff.
Paul would not. It wouldn't bother me.
Would you want to hear it every day?
But they seem very bothered that Scraby beat them in fantasy football last year.
Paulie, we've had a bunch of bets, and Paulie's won them. Ben and I are like, here's your $40. Like, he smoked us.
For sure.
So it doesn't, it's not. Yeah, he's not. It doesn't bother me at all. I that wouldn't bother me at all. If we did a fantasy league and Paulie won, I'd be like, hell yeah.
The only two things I saw is they had Sean McVay actually mic'd up during the game while he was coaching for the Rams game
yesterday.
And it was actually good.
Okay. That'd be interesting.
It was like Andrew Siciliano and Mina Kimes were doing the game, and they were like chatting with Sean McVay on the sideline.
That's
he was
cool.
giving his reaction to every play. That was kind of cool. Rams beat the Cowboys on a last-second touchdown by Stetson Bennett IV to someone named Forrestall. Don't all run to your fantasy football drafts at once to try to pick up those guys. And then I did happen to see that Jim Harbaugh's team put up 3 points in their in his first game in a loss to the Seahawks.
They're going to be focusing on defense.
Of course.
I'm sure that they didn't play many starters.
I'm sure they did.
Herbert.
He's hurt. So.
Yeah, he's hurt.
But that's all I saw. So that's the extent of my preseason football takes for you. I'll let Italian Paul take over now with his report for the day.
And get things started here with our edition, today's edition of the Rindle Report.
Now tuned into the greatest.
Welcome to the Rindle Report with Paul Rindle.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Rindle Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3 The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a
All right.
We do need an Italian Paul open for the record.
We have a Klug open.
We have the Klug report.
Well, Italian Paul likes to add his own Godfather music
in the
background.
Good. It's so good.
Thank you guys for giving me time to get that up, by the way.
Oh, you're
welcome.
There's
a lot of mouses.
Yeah, mices. Yeah. So meese.
Yeah, I got a bunch of stuff I have to press in order to do this properly. All right, so I truly, truly love it when my worlds collide. Last weekend in North Wilkesboro, North Carolina, my favorite minor league baseball team, the Rocket City Trash Pandas, sponsored Landon Huffman's Cars Tour Super Late Model car for a race, and now baseball and motorsports are colliding again.
I've been waiting for a week to get his take on the Major League Baseball playing there. I've been waiting. So I'm glad you delivered.
Late last week, Major League Baseball announced that it will be holding a game between the Atlanta Braves and the Cincinnati Reds in the infield of Bristol Motor Speedway in Bristol, Tennessee.
What did you call them? The fans of the Reds and the Braves. The redneckiest?
The redneckiest fan bases in baseball, perhaps?
He said, this wouldn't work if it was the Yankees-Marlins playing there.
They chose these teams carefully for this game.
Yes. Very, very.
I mean, Cincinnati is literally on the border of Kentucky. Georgia is Georgia. These teams were chosen for a reason.
Oh, yeah. The redneckiest.
The game has been dubbed the MLB Speedway Classic and will take place on August 2nd, 2025. This is not the first time a non-racing sporting event has taken place at Bristol Motor Speedway. In 2016, the Tennessee Volunteers football team hosted the Virginia Tech Hokies at Bristol in the highest attended college football game in history at 156,990 spectators.
That is absolutely bat-ass crazy.
The track itself has a lot of history and has been on the NASCAR calendar since it opened back in 1961. And next year, the last great Coliseum adds another chapter to its storied history.
You're excited for this.
I am going to be glued to the TV for that game.
If you want to make it interesting, make bases like on the concrete. That would be interesting.
They have it. They've already laid out where the field is going to be.
How's it going to look?
The first baseline is going to be down the front stretch pit road, and then it's going to wrap around.
See, now I love it when they can incorporate elements like the Western Metal Building into the field.
Love that
is there
too.
A way that they can have some of the track actually on
exposed,
the field?
Yeah.
No.
In the corner.
The warning track.
Yeah, the warning track is actually
concrete.
The track. It's concrete.
It doesn't help when the track is banked at 20 degrees on the straightaway.
It's like that hill out at Minute Maid
Park. Houston. Yeah, they have
the
hill
track up there as the outfield. That would be great.
They could probably use turns 1 and 2 as the outfield.
And
fence.
I want cars to be going around.
Yeah, me too.
The
in the middle of the
during
game.
During the game as well.
You just can't call it. That's a base hit. Have you been there before?
I have not been to Bristol. I've only been to one race ever, and that was at Auto Club Speedway in Fontana.
I was at Texas Motor Speedway
one time.
I didn't realize they're raising the Auto Club Speedway to build housing.
Yes, they've completely destroyed it.
Yeah,
they were supposedly going to take just the front stretch part and make a short track out of it, but that apparently is not as it was intended to
be. It's going
to
be someone out on their porch going, this is where Jimmy Johnson won his NASCAR race. Right here on my front porch. Here.
See, it's funny, and it's happening right now with Laguna Seca up north, that people build a racetrack out in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
And then people move next to the racetrack.
Correct.
And try to get the racetrack shut down because it's too loud.
Correct.
Don't live next to a racetrack if you don't want noise.
That won't happen.
People are stupid.
Yeah, they can be. They can be.
I live next to a pickleball court. Woods would die.
I would absolutely die.
I don't mind. It doesn't bother me.
All day long? I just lose my mind. I was like, I live next door to a leaf blower that runs 24 hours. And they never blow it steadily. It's always
on
start
and
stop.
All right, I'm
and
already,
it's all effing day long.
I'm already getting a twitch with that one. So
I'm gonna bring mine in because we have one at home. We never use it. I'm gonna bring mine in and do it for you guys tomorrow. To lose your mind. I'm gonna do it the whole show, and then you'll know what it's like to live in my house.
I already want to move.
It's awful.
I don't live anywhere near you, and I already want to move.
God.
All right. Sticking with racing, NASCAR returned last night from its Olympic break With a bang at the
end of this race.
Here we go.
At the three-quarter mile Richmond Raceway in Richmond, Virginia. Even as a NASCAR fan, there wasn't much buzz around this race after NASCAR's two-week layoff. But it's definitely in the spotlight now. On the last turn of the last lap, Joey Logano was leading with Austin Dillon running in second. Logano drove hard, drove deep into turn three, as you would, trying to protect the lead, but he made the corner. Austin Dillon, on the other hand, decided to use Joey Logano as a brake, spinning the 22 from the lead.
Jeez.
As Dillon was gathering up his car, Denny Hamlin tried to sneak below him for the race win. Now, as someone who has played racing games his entire life, at this moment, you have two choices. You can either accept defeat and just admit you're going to finish second now, or possibly third, or you can gun it and try to most likely wreck yourself trying to get the lead back. Austin Dillon chose option C, which was turn dead left and wreck Denny Hamlin for the win, with his spotter clearly saying wreck him on the radio.
So, yeah, for the layman here, he essentially crashed two other cars so he could go by them and win the race.
Yes.
And people are up in arms about this because...
Should they be?
But isn't that...
Isn't that racing?
Isn't that what racing is? As the non-NASCAR people, that was like the coolest ending I've ever seen to a race.
I agree.
And they're all mad at him for it.
Brilliant strategy.
There is a difference between nudging a guy out of the way,
okay,
called a bump and run. You give him a shot. And they slide up the racetrack. Okay. They don't wreck. They just
okay. But if it's illegal, then why don't they just say, "Oh, penalty," and you have to go? But they didn't. They let him win the race.
As of now, they are reviewing it, and most likely during the week they'll probably hopefully take the win away from it.
Now I saw Days of Thunder many, many times.
That's also a movie,
and I saw Cars and Pixar's Cars, and
also a movie,
and Rowdy. That's something Rowdy would have done to Cole Trickle.
Yes, it absolutely.
And it was okay in that. Rubbin's racing, as they said.
A movie. In a movie, you don't have to worry about the guy you wrecked spinning you the next week because it's not in the script. But now he's got to worry about two people wrecking him every chance that they get for the rest of the year. Probably the rest of his career.
Elisa says, Days of Thunder, great documentary. Absolutely phenomenal documentary. So, the story of Cole Trickle.
But the other side of this is that with the win, Dillon is now locked into NASCAR's playoffs, moving from 32nd to 13th the points.
I'd say that that was a risk worth taking, yes?
If it gets taken away from him, it wasn't. He made an enemy of two people and doesn't get the reward for the win.
Chick Hicks definitely would have done it in Cars.
Yeah,
he did, actually. He did do exactly that.
When I saw this, I go, people are mad about that? I said, I thought he did a good job at winning the race, which is ultimately the goal, but I guess I don't know anything.
There's a difference between Rubbin's racing, it's just racing, boys have at it. There's a difference between that
and
just straight up dumping
two people.
Straight up dumping two people.
Because in my mind, I thought, wow, what quite a competitor. Just took him right out and won the race.
To his point,
imagine... If you're running in a running race around lanes and you get close and you just whack somebody in the nose.
Trips you.
Now, I would be watching the Olympic track
I'd
and field.
Miss.
If that I was the case.
They're holding each other at the end.
What was the famous, marathon, Zola Budd, where she tripped Mary Decker Slaney and Zola Budd.
I didn't know this.
She tripped her right at the end and she went tumbling.
Like
right
on purpose?
No, I mean, she just kind of,
she
flat-topped, like hit the back and knocked her over.
I guess you're right, because I'm thinking about, I watched that Lance Armstrong documentary recently, and watching those dudes, 400 bikes compressed into a space of 10 feet.
One guy
veers over, and it's just toast. You're right. Okay. All right. Now it's starting to make sense in my head.
Matt says battle track sounds awesome. Now that's demolition derby, essentially.
Yes, yeah.
Where you're just trying to wreck the other cars.
I don't know. Maybe they have those up at Barona. I don't know. I know they have dirt racing up at Barona every Saturday night during
the motorcycle game. Adam says that you could punch people to the left of you. That was awesome. That was really cool.
That's called GTA, I think.
Yeah, that was great.
All right, moving to college football now, and more specifically, Boulder, Colorado.
Oh boy! Oh
where
boy.
Deion
oh
Sanders?
Boy. Oh boy!
Deion Sanders opened up the season with a news conference for the ages. The presser started innocently enough, as it was Prime's birthday and he had just become a grandfather. But then questions started coming in, as usual at a press conference. When the topic turned to his team,
you know, his team, he took offense to that.
Yeah, things did not go well.
Damn it.
When asked whether his bolstered offensive line could protect his son, who got sacked 52 times last year, Deion responded by saying, I don't know all that bolstered stuff. I've never used it in a sentence. Let's say that we improved our offensive line. Fair enough. When asked about the chemistry of his new offensive line, he responded with, what's chemistry?
Oh, God, he's just being obstinate right
now.
This
is doing really good. He then refused to answer a question from a local CBS affiliate without going into details.
I saw it. That was massively, massively
because the guy picked him to finish near the bottom or eighth in the Big 12.
From what Deion had said, he said, I respect you, he has a beef with national CBS.
He does.
So he's not going to respond to any CBS. National
by the way,
or
there's
local.
No connection really between national, like where I work, ABC and local ABC, other than we carry their programming.
Right.
I don't get to say what goes on there. They don't get to say what goes on with us. That has nothing to do with anything, Deion. That's a really dumb reason not to answer someone's question.
Yeah, no, that's
because
that's
of what affiliate they happen to be at.
That's what reporter was like, I'm local, I'm not national. He goes, I don't care, you're CBS, you know what you are.
Yeah, he had a rough one. It was a rough one. I've really liked Deion last year. I thought he did some good when he took over that program, and it's slowly eroding the good that he did.
By the way, the initial top 25 AP is out this morning. No Colorado in the top 25.
Oh, really?
Number one, though, Adam Klug will be very happy. The Georgia Bulldogs with 46 first place votes, your number
now,
one team to start the season.
Will all of their players be out of prison before the season starts? They've had about 46 arrests before the season started. Like the drag racing Georgia Bulldogs.
Yes.
Good God, man.
So Georgia 1, SEC. Ohio State, Big Ten 2. Oregon, Big Ten 3. Texas, SEC 4. Alabama, SEC 5. Ole Miss, SEC 6. And then your Notre Dame Fighting Irish Woods.
Way too high.
Coming in at number 7.
Way too high.
Then Penn
Way
State and Michigan, Big Ten. And then Florida State finally representing the ACC at number 10 in your top 10.
7 is way too high.
It's just everyone's like Big Ten or SEC.
Oh, yeah, that's how it is.
College football, the new world.
Now, you're making fun of me for not watching preseason football. I am giddy for college football.
Blocked,
I cannot wait. And your team, Penn State.
Yeah,
that's right.
One more incredible quote from this presser was his son, Shiloh, I guess. That's how you pronounce it?
I think so.
To Shiloh and Shadur.
Yeah. Tried to lighten up the mood with a, what do you plan on doing for your birthday, Dad? Softball question.
Right.
Deion swung and missed at said softball by saying his sons probably didn't get him anything as usual.
That's actually a pretty good line. It's a pretty good line.
It's all right.
Yeah.
Bro's having a hard time.
He is. He's having a rough
Colorado
one.
Right
He's
now.
Having a rough one right now. And the target is just squarely on his back and his entire team's back. So we'll see how it shakes out this year for Deion and the Buffaloes. But there was a lot of buzz last year, and I liked what I heard from him early. And like I said, it's quickly eroded. It's gotten to real paranoid states. It's very strange.
Ty and Paul, very nicely done.
Thank you, sir.
With the report. Glad to have you in today. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we had a lot of discussion last week about Jackson Merrill's Rookie of the Year chances. Certainly didn't do anything to hurt those chances this weekend. Want to give you an update and why, all of a sudden, I do care a lot more than I did last week about whether Jackson Merrill wins the Rookie of the Year, because it's kind of important and something that I forgot about, Woods. So we'll get to that coming up next after traffic here with Bennett Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Question for you, Woods. What is the PPI Rewards Program?
Oh, that is a performance plan incentive, is
not
my
bad.
Guess.
Sounds like an app you download at a local PPI store, and then if you spend enough, you get like a $10 off coupon.
What is a PPI store?
I don't know. I'm just saying. A PPI rewards program. Doesn't sound like it has anything to do with baseball. But yeah, you're close. It's called the Prospect Promotion Incentive. And it actually was in play last year. I had totally forgotten about it until someone reminded me over the weekend after we had our discussion last week about Jackson Merrill not giving an S about whether he wins.
Is it an S or an F?
I think it was an S.
Oh, okay. I thought it was an F.
Was it an F?
That's just where my brain goes.
It was one of the two about winning the Rookie of the Year award versus Paul Skeens. Well, over the weekend, obviously, Merrill hit two more gigantically clutch home runs. He's in the top 10 in batting now in the National League. And Paul Skeens took an L against the Dodgers, gave up a few runs. So, the equation has changed a little bit over the weekend. But the reason why Padres fans, at least, should give an S or an F about whether Jackson Merrill wins the Rookie of the Year is because of the Prospect Promotion Incentive Rewards Program, which is what Major League Baseball instituted to try to get teams to stop manipulating service times of top prospects, which the Padres don't do and didn't do with Jackson Merrill.
Yep.
He debuted with the team to start the year, and because he was a top prospect, he is eligible for the PPI program, which means if he wins Rookie of the Year or in any of his arbitration pre-eligible years finishes in the top three in MVP voting, Padres get an extra first-round pick, a pick
like
at the end of the first round of the draft. And we know what A.J. Preller can do with those extra draft picks. So it actually is quite valuable for the Padres organization if Jackson Merrill does win the Rookie of the Year award. Now, you know who's not eligible for the PPI rewards program? That would be Paul Skeens, because the Pirates, of course, manipulated his service time by waiting until May to bring him up and not giving him that full year accrual in his rookie season.
Okay.
So they can't get the extra pick. Only the Padres, between those two, could win the extra draft pick if Jackson Merrill wins the Rookie of the Year award. So I don't care if Jackson doesn't care about it. I really want him to win the award because it helps the Padres going forward.
It'd be awesome. My words, I think, were taken out of context. He doesn't care. So what I'm not going to do is work myself into a tizzy. And I will say this, my fellow Padres fans, some of you actively rooting for the Dodgers to rough up Paul Skeens the other day actually made me sick to my stomach. Legitimately. You know who you are.
I mean, if he was ever going to have a good start, that would be
that
the one
that
I want him
that
to
I
have
wanted
a good
him
start.
To have a really good start.
And then he didn't.
He didn't. So, mission accomplished, guys. The Dodgers won. Congratulations to all of you rooting for Jackson Merrill's.
But because
rookie of the year.
They did rough him up, maybe it will help Jackson Merrill in his rookie of the year candidacy, which actually does have a direct benefit for the San Diego Padres if he does win that award. So, I now care more than I did last week because I was reminded about the PPI rewards program.
Do you have PPI
baseball.
On the brain?
I do now
at
have PPI all, rewards on the brain.
At all times. PPI.
Yeah, the more you shop, the more you save.
That makes sense.
PPI rewards in Major League Baseball.
Got a DM from Adam in the chat here and said, don't know if you guys are doing shout-out to your families or not. Was wondering if you guys could shout-out his family for Coach Ed Olson. Now, I did not know Coach Olson, but I have friends that played for him. He passed away yesterday at the age of 89. San Diego legend in the sports community as a baseball coach. Coached at Morse, El Cap, finished at Grossmont. Padres employee
Joe Musgrove
for a few years.
School.
Yeah, yeah. Padres
Morris,
employee
Adam
for
Jones
years.
School.
Yeah, absolutely. Coach Olson was a founding member of the legendary San Diego School of Baseball with guys like Bob Cluck. Known by so many people in San Diego, will be sorely missed. I would greatly appreciate it if this is possible. It's absolutely possible, Adam. Paul, Italian Paul, do you have a shout-out to your family, the clip?
I do not.
You do not? Yeah, you can probably.
Shout-out to his family.
That'll work.
We'll take the shortened version of that.
Coach Ed Olson.
Okay. That was nice.
Thank you.
Oh, he was at Grossmont College, not high school.
Grossmont College.
Nobody tweets in the chat, which is someone's name.
Yeah,
nobody tweeted. Someone put it into the chat. Morris, though, is a high school where Adam Jones went.
Yes,
I don't know
exactly
if he was there when Adam Jones was there, but we could find that out tomorrow when we're actually playing round of golf with AJ. He's going to be in town.
Is he coming in studio or what?
I do not know if he's coming in studio on Wednesday, yet tomorrow. I have no idea.
Now,
I just know he's in San Diego, and we got him after our show.
I've already canceled a dentist appointment for this. Then I remembered that I may have child care duty.
No.
So
is the answer to your question.
To the ninth caller, 833-288-0973.
You can't bring Taylor to the ground of golf.
No, no. I was going to give Taylor to a tier one for the day.
Oh,
so
okay.
833-288-0973.
What do we want? Third caller?
Third caller.
Could go wrong with
Nothing
that.
Could go wrong. You have Taylor from, call it 10 a.m. till about 5 p.m. All right? So third caller.
Now, are they getting compensated as a babysitter? Is this a freebie?
It's a prize. It's a freebie. Yeah.
It's a freebie prize.
I don't give people prizes and also pay them. We just give them a prize. So you get Taylor tomorrow.
Why is the phone line lighting up? Stop calling. Do not call on this. It's not a real giveaway. Stop.
Nobody said it. Hannah will love this. She has to work tomorrow. She has office hours. So it's either him at her office all day long or me skipping golf or finding a sitter. But our sitter also starting
school
tomorrow.
What about another camp this week? You can't find another camp to put him in?
I think all camps are done.
Nothing left.
I mean, if I had to, I'd have to find it today.
Junior lifeguard for a day?
It's three. I just don't know. So if any tier one wants to watch the kid tomorrow, so his old man can go play golf with a baseball legend, that would be great. I want to try.
Ah, fine. If you want to bring him, he can be the caddy.
I'm not bringing him to the golf course. He's a nightmare. Are you kidding?
He would be the worst.
He would be the worst.
He would not be a good fifth wheel.
He is
in
not.
Our
he's not. He's not.
Oh.
Did you just say he's the worst?
He would be the worst at a golf
course. He would be
course.
The worst.
He runs. He's just very. He's just very active.
Yeah, he's
very
three.
Active.
Yeah. He's insane. He's fully insane.
Now, there are tier ones who said they'll gladly take your spot in the round.
Yeah, of course you will.
So you can watch Taylor.
Of course you will.
But that's not what you want. You want to be able to play golf.
Correct.
All right.
YMCA Summer Camp still available at Ecky Y. Shameless plug. All right. We'll make that call today. Thank you very much, Adrian.
All right. We're going to take a timeout. Time to look ahead. Padres Pirates again. Can the Padres do what they did last week, what the Dodgers just did, and sweep the Pirates three more games? Is it possible? We'll find out. And Joe Musgrove's return as well. Talk about all of that coming up before Annie and Elston at the top of the hour with Ben and Woods here on 97.3 The Fan.
My wife in the chat. Ben hates Taylor. LOL.
I don't hate Taylor. I wouldn't want to be in charge of Taylor, Ben. I just definitely would not. Bo would be hard enough. I think I could do Bo. I don't think I could handle Taylor. Taylor would walk right all over me, and I would not survive the experience. You know that's true. I let my own kids walk over me most of the time. I'm certainly going to let Taylor do it. I cannot put my foot. I'm not good at putting my foot down. I'm really not. And it sounds like you need to put your foot down sometimes.
I'm dead.
97.3 The Fan. Love this song. Talk. Yeah. All right, we've got one segment left. We can look ahead to the upcoming series against the Pittsburgh Pirates, although we just saw this team for 3 days. One of those bounce-back series.
I hate
where you
these,
just have,
man.
Yeah.
You're sick of them, and especially the way that it went.
Yeah, I do not want it to go as stressfully as it did in Pittsburgh. Now, they won all three games. You can't get better results than that. But, yeah, it was a mess with the rain delay and everything involved. It was kind of a mess. We'll see what happens starting tonight. We will discuss the upcoming series right after our last check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. Well, the first thing is I don't even know what tonight's matchup is. I know Joe Musgrove is returning for the Padres. We discussed that a little bit earlier. And, you know, he did throw well in his brief return. Remember, between
yes, he did.
You know, his rest stint, and then they brought him back, and then they had to shut him down again. He actually threw well in those games, but the elbow started barking and bothering him. So after the long rest, May 26th with his last start,
he's
returns.
Got his last three starts, 14 and a third innings pitch, 251 ERA, 233 FIP. And 10.7 strikeouts per nine.
That's
with a
great
whip of 1.05. Yeah, bro, you take that all day long.
Absolutely.
Now, he's going to be on, you know, they're going to be watching him. Everyone, what has there been an official number released? I probably
60-ish.
Not. 60-ish. 60-ish?
Yeah.
Which, you know, you could go.
Four.
More or less.
Yeah.
But you could go, yeah, I mean, for innings, I think, you know, you want to make
sure. Three if you're, I mean, if they tax you and you go 20, yeah. 20, 20. Three if you're efficient and you go 14, 14, 14, you know, you get four.
The nightmare of going out and throwing a 30-pitch first inning, though, is certainly a real one. And Mike Schilt's thinking about it. AJ Preller's thinking about it. Joe Musgrove's thinking about it. You know, and it's just a reality of what can happen when you're a little bit limited right now.
Probably why we will see another move, I would think, before the game today. And it probably would be Sean Reynolds since he pitched yesterday. Carl Edwards probably gets to stick around to be the guy that wears it in case Joe does throw, you know, 45 pitches in the first couple innings and they need extra help out of the bullpen, which is a little worrisome, but hopefully that doesn't occur. Now, the Pirates still have, as far as they're listed, they have TBD, and that's on Pirates.com. ESPN has Marco Gonzalez, who the Padres faced in Pittsburgh, but apparently he's not pitching tonight, or if he is, they are not ready to name him as the starting pitcher tonight. So they still have a to-be-determined listed for the first game of the series here. And then tomorrow, game two of the series, Michael King will pitch against Luis L. Ortiz, who we also saw in Pittsburgh in the series from last week. And then on Wednesday, which is a day game, the series finale, Martin Perez will go for the Padres, and it'll be Mitch Keller, who we didn't see in that series, going for the Pirates. And he's actually been pretty good. He's 10-6 with a 3.56 ERA.
I watched some of his start the other day against the Dodgers. He did not look good. So we'll see what happens. But, yeah, man, you know, again, keep winning those series. A sweep would be great, but I'd like just a dub tonight. With Joe Musgrove on the mound, a pretty taxed bullpen. You know, this team continues to show a lot of resolve, a lot of resiliency. Don't get upset if they get down a couple runs early with Joe in there trying to, you know, get his feel. You know, that's not sustainable to live that the way that they've been living, Ben. It's not. It's not. But, you know, I tweeted yesterday, I love the grit squad. I do. I love the grit squad so much. I would like the blowout squad to show up, you know, and give me a nice, good, solid 10-3 victory, you know, that you never have to get your heart rate up watching, you know, score a few early. hopefully Joe has a nice, crisp, clean first inning. I think that will go a long way for him, his confidence, the team's confidence, the fans' confidence. But, yeah, man, it's baseball. Literally anything can happen. So, you know, kind of reserve your expectations and just hope the boys continue to play good baseball. We've not kissed the rally roach today. We need to. It's done on my end.
Yeah, this team, they are roaches.
They are roaches, man. They don't go away.
Even when you think you get them, then they just come back the next day. Italian Paul, would you like to kiss the rally roach?
He's a Met fan, so probably not.
Probably not. Okay, yeah. Well, we'll just keep
I'm
it over
good,
here
thank
then.
You. I will forcibly rub it on his lips later.
You're right, though. I mean, since
but
the All Star
expecting it
since the All Star break, Padres have only lost four times, and the only time they really weren't ever in it was that first game in Cleveland on July 19th. When they lost 7-0. The other three losses, like yesterday, an 8-6 loss in Baltimore, and that 5-2 loss at home to Colorado, weren't blowouts. But, not a lot of the wins have been blowouts either.
Dude, I know.
You know, they had 1-12-3 in Washington, 1-7-0 in Cleveland, an 8-1 against the Dodgers was pretty nice, a 10-2 in Colorado in the last game of the series. But for the most part, 75-80% of the games since the All-Star break have all been close one way or another. And it's great. If you're not getting blown out, you're giving yourself a chance to win, and the Padres are winning a lot of close games. But at some point, you're right. Blowout squad for at least one of these games.
A couple of these games would be great. A
couple would be even better. And then take your chances with a close game on the third one and hopefully pull it out for the sweep. But yeah, it's been difficult, and you know, it's we're at the point with 43 games left. I don't mind doing a little scoreboard watching, especially with the teams that are ahead of the Padres in the standings right now. The Dodgers open a series against the Milwaukee Brewers tonight on the road, a Brewers team that did lose yesterday, but otherwise has been playing pretty good baseball the last week plus. Clayton Kershaw against Freddie Peralta in that one, so an interesting matchup there. The Diamondbacks, they're at home against the Colorado Rockies. So, you know, you just kind of hope the Rockies can get one of those in this series. The way the Diamondbacks are playing, though, they're probably licking their chops and thinking sweep. It'll be Brandon Pfaadt against Cal Quantrill in game one of that series as well. And then some of the other wild card teams that are behind the Padres, the Braves are in San Francisco. So you've got two teams that are both battling for that last wild card spot are playing each other. And what a matchup tonight. Chris Sale, Blake Snell, your scheduled starters for game one of that series at Oracle Park in San Francisco.
A lot of K's, I would imagine.
New York Mets finally get an off day. They had a gnarly road trip, didn't they, Frank? They were
4-6 on the trip.
Where did they go? Because they had to go one game to St. Louis.
They went from New York to Anaheim to play the Angels. Then they had a makeup game.
They lost
in
2-3.
Louis. Yeah,
yep.
Lost 2-3. They won the makeup game in St. Louis. Won 2-3 in Colorado, and then just got swept in Seattle,
where they didn't score any in the first two games, and they scored one in a 12-1 loss
yesterday. 22-1 in three games,
and then so they don't play today. They do have an off day. They're back tomorrow. Who they've got next?
Oakland.
Oakland, okay.
Oakland, Miami, Baltimore is the homestand.
Oakland, and I saw it this morning, Oakland and Kansas City have the best record in the AL since the break. Those two.
Wow.
Oakland.
The A's have tied with the Royals for the best record.
Brent Rooker has 29 home runs, by the way. 29
home runs. Brent Rooker and Jake Berger.
Yeah.
Your hottest hitters in baseball.
Man. Beasts.
Since the All-Star break. And Jackson Merrill, I'm going to throw him in.
Yeah,
there
I'd
as
say
well.
He's probably worthy of
clutch wise for sure. So, those are some of the games to watch this week as some new series take place. And yeah, I'm doing some scoreboard watching at this
Me
point.
Me too, man. I was as soon as the game was over, as soon as I got home yesterday, I'm like, oh, the Mets are on. I'm like, oh, well, I mean, the Mets are there. So I watched Luis Castillo just dominate, nasty, nasty stuff. Mariners are those teams, one of those teams where like they get in the dance. We said this before about the Mariners. The offense needs to show up, obviously, but their pitching is so ungodly good. Brett Boone said it last week. They've got basically five interchangeable number ones that they can throw out there at you at any time. They're pretty nasty. I will say, too, about the game tonight, it's going to feel like midnight watching a 6:40 game again. Because the boys have been gone, you know, for so long, a lot of East Coast games. I'm like, 6:40? I'm like, what is it? I'm going to be up till 9 o'clock tonight. This is crazy, but it's good that they're home. I wish they were home a little bit longer, but off to Colorado after this little short one with the Pirates. A
couple other baseball notes. I don't know if you saw this, but the LA Dodgers, after you know going through pitching injuries for much of their season, and you know one of the actual good stories for them was the former Padres prospect River Ryan.
Yeah, we got Matt Beattie for
yeah,
them.
But,
Love Matt Beattie.
And he's pitched well for
what
them.
What a contributor.
But apparently he's going to be out for the rest of the season with an elbow injury as well. So another blow to the Dodgers pitching rotation with an injury to River Ryan. Now, I don't know if they're counting on him like as a playoff guy, but he had actually pitched well for them. So that's bad news for them. And I've also seen Padres in the minor leagues. Leodalis DeVries continues to slug.
Salas
is swinging really well right
Jack
now.
Jack Costello
USD,
from USD.
10th round pick. Is it like 3 home runs in 3 days? Is he at the Arizona, I think, Complex League? They've assigned all their draft picks to like most of them to the either Complex League, but some have already started at Single A and other places, so you can follow some of those new players around. But, yeah, good start for Jack Costello, the USD kid, with 3 home runs over the weekend in, like, his first 3 games.
Pretty decent way to start your professional baseball career, I would say, as a guy that was kind of picked towards the lower, you know, the lower rounds, and it's pretty solid.
And I meant to mention it last week, but when the Padres finalized all their draft agreements with their players,
yeah,
it was reported that once again, the Padres went 4.9% over on their signing pool bonuses, which, as long as you stay under 5%, you avoid penalties. Padres go 4.9% over every single year. AJ Preller spends every dollar that he can on putting together the best draft class and international signing class possible. There's not a penny that doesn't go spent by A.J. Preller on his minor leagues to try to now rebuild it up after he's traded all those guys away.
Did I see 21 of 22 guys signed? Is that right?
Yeah. They just had the one guy that was a long shot to sign, and they probably didn't have enough money for him anyway, but they signed every bit of it, one guy.
That's amazing. I mean, 21 new fresh pieces in your system. Just like that, all the consternation about emptying the farm. Okay, we'll see what happens, but we've got some really good players back for those guys that they traded. So will it be enough? Who knows, man? Who knows? If this team stays healthy, though, nobody wants to face the San Diego Padres team. They just don't. They don't want to face them. And I think you could say the same for Arizona right now. Nobody wants to face these guys. They are on a different planet. And, it's going to be that last series in Arizona could be the craziest, gnarliest thing we've ever seen. And I hope to be there with the crew.
Yeah, a lot of things still have to kind of fall into place.
We still have a lot of games in between.
You'll have that series against the Dodgers beforehand, but it could be a three-way race coming down the wire,
mama.
And that might not just be for a division title, but it could be for a bye in the first round of the playoffs. Could even be for the number one seed. The Phillies, not exactly lighting up the world right now. You keep thinking they're going to turn it around, but the Diamondbacks bodied them three straight games after they took the first game. Diamondbacks came back and won the next three, and the Phillies have not really been able to stabilize. They're now tied with the Dodgers for the best record in the National League and been slipping consistently since the All-Star break. So they've brought everyone back into the picture. The Brewers, the Dodgers, the Diamondbacks, and the Padres are all really alive for not just a division title, but the one seed in the National League. Potentially home field advantage throughout the playoffs is still in play, and something that I think the Padres should be going after and pursuing. I know, you know, people say, well, that teams that have the bye in the first round, they come out slow and they lose in the division series. If you can get a bye and you can get home field, I don't care how good the Padres are on the road and how much you don't want to get rusty in the 5 days between the series, give me the bye. Give me the home field. Take my chances.
Reset my pitching. Get my guys healthy. You know, this team's banged up, man, and they play hard. And, you know, you think about guys like David Peralta, Donovan Solano, 36, 37 years old. Every time David Peralta catches a ball in the outfield, he's grabbing at an ankle or a knee. An angel gets its wings. And I'm watching these guys. And again, somebody just in the chat, he's catching up. He said, why are we not playing Solano every day? Are you guys insane? And look, I think the only answer is that he's older. He's an older guy.
He's also so valuable with what he's doing.
Correct.
And you don't have a place to play him every
day.
I'm just I'm amazed that we're even having this discussion at this point in the season.
Yeah.
After how things started.
More Donovan Solano.
One seed. More Donovan Solano, more David Peralta.
Give me Tyler Wade.
All right, Andy and Elston are coming up next. Frank, Italian Paul, thank you for sitting in today. Our Pauly should be back tomorrow for Woodsy. I'm Ben. Have a great rest of your Monday from all of us here at San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. So long, everybody.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.